Once again, I am so privileged to be a part with my son at your 85th anniversary. Once again, congratulations and bringing greetings from People's Baptist Church, Trivandrum, India, and People's Baptist Bible College and Seminary, and People's Baptist Ministries all across India, and Fundamental Baptist Mission to India also. Especially my wife also conveyed her love and her prayers as we are here. And thank you so much for praying for my wife and the ministry. It is God's ministry. It's you are playing in a great part into that. It is good to see that Pastor and Mrs. Venom after many years. And it's hard to think about. I was here around 5 years back, like yesterday. But compared to eternity, just nothing. But I'm so thankful that when, as I was showing that slide yesterday, reminding that in the early stage, Pastor Mrs. Venom came, I took them to the tea plantation. And we had a great baptism service and there, and the home Bible studies. And all that which that God just kept us to go on and building up people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to see you all, and the smiling face. Yesterday it was a nice dinner. A lot of people put in a lot of effort behind that. Then we have an after job. You have to clean up everything. That's sometimes we forget about that, you know. And thank you, ladies, and even some men. And we thank you so much, and really appreciate. I always see that, even just after the celebration, after the work. So thankful for that. Today I'd like to just to bring few thoughts as we just gather together. Thinking about, especially Pastor Matthews was telling that, emphasizing on mission, and that's one of the real challenge for the church, even the days in which we live today. And I travel sometimes in across America, and even the places we can see fundamental churches became thinner and thinner and thinner, and empty pews. I say filled with angels, unseen angels, you know, because it's a kind of time that we need to think about. People are just building up some mega things, but we need to concern about souls. Souls need to be saved. That's the very purpose the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. Souls has got a lot of value. I cannot explain what value from this world can give. I always tell souls equal to Jesus' life. If you and I might be the only person ever live in this world, still my Jesus will come and die for me. No wonder the gospel says, for what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the fact that you can't just gain the whole world, but soul you cannot gain. We need a Savior. That's the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came. As passage I read, that it's in a Psalm of degree, but I'm taking that two words, just bringing some thoughts. Are we prepared to give ourselves to bring souls to the Lord Jesus Christ? So the title of my message will be Weeping and Reaping. Weeping and Reaping. Are we prepared to just give ourselves and give time and weeping? For the prepared to weep for the souls. The souls need to be saved. In our society in which we live, we consider emotions are kind of shallow. We need to be aware of the shallow emotions, but somebody need to care for the lost souls. Are we prepared to weep for our own families, our own grandchildren, siblings, friends, those who are on the broad way which leadeth to eternal destruction? If people, those who are born here, they are born in sin, and they are all on the broad way which leadeth to eternal destruction. Every one of them, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they are heading to that eternal damnation. The church need to be aware of that. But someone need to care for these people. As I'm standing before here, I was one time in the years back in Ohio, speaking for the 75th anniversary of the church, that pastor knew how I came to know Christ. He knew that Baptist Midwestern medical missionary. Without my knowledge, he invited him and his wife. They retired and completely, and she had a cancer. She was in home for 5 years, but they heard that they came for that anniversary time. And Mrs. Kenoyer came to me and hugged me, said, "Last 5 years, I never got out from my home. I came because I want to see you and I want to spend some time with you." Then she began to talk about the old days when I was in hospital. "You were the most troublesome patient in our hospital. You gave a lot of trouble for us." And then said, "My husband never stopped praying for you. Every day he prayed for you with the passion and agony. Lord, save this lost Hindu dying with TB. Why he has to pray for my soul? I'm another patient." After 18 years, I came to know Jesus Christ. How often we easily give up, even our own children sometimes. We talk to them, pray for them, even the grandchildren, siblings. Even sometimes we just give gospel. We talk to people, our friends and families, maybe our neighbor. Then we just have in a kind of judgmental spirit saying, "I don't know, it's not going to work." But this doctor never gave me up. 18 months, prayed for my soul. That helped me to pray for over 16 years for my parents. If that American could pray for an Indian who was lost on the way to eternal hell, how much more I have to pray for my parents. 16 years later, both my father and mother come to know Christ. Are we just prepared to weep over the soul? Somebody said, "Jesus shed his blood. At least we can shed some tears to sharing the gospel and to having that agony." Paul, as he was talking to Ephesians, and he said that with day and night, with tears, I just labored with you, with tears. Even think about my Savior in his ministry. It's something we have to think about here, as we see in Hebrews chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, the chapter, Lord himself, as he was in this earthly ministry, it says that chapter 5 and verse 7, talking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on the in the earth with his flesh, he's saying the word, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered a prayers and supplication with the strong crying and tears." The strong crying is God himself in his ministry. He knew that's a spiritual battle, putting all kind of hindrance to stop his ministry as he's giving his life for the souls. And he says, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. A great Savior said, a great example, with the strong crying and tears, with agony. When I was studying in the Bible college, I read biographies because that when I got saved, I got saved, that's all. I mean, I'm excited. I see people everywhere I see, only I can see they are going to go, the lost eternity, I need to tell them. I went to some of the places you are afraid to go in that. I have to talk to them. So people thought I became crazy in the hospital. We had TB contracted, people should not be talking too much. I began to talk so much, the doctor put me in the bed rest. "Brother, you're going to die if you're not stopping." And but God has got a different plan, and he saved me, just took the TB away from me. So I began to share the gospel because of the So I just picked up some of the biographies. One of the biography I took is a small book, Murray McShane from Dundee, Scotland. A great man who only served a few years in this world. And he was just pastoring that church in Dundee Baptist. And he began to just pray and weep over the souls. I always wanted to visit Dundee to see that church. And that God just given a chance to visit that. So that's another things I was reading one time, one young minister. He was trying his level best, working very hard, and trying to reach people. The meager result brought so much of a discouragement in his life. He got this Murray McShane's biography one day, and he just took that biography and began to go. It's impacted his life, this young man, a minister. He came to Dundee, and visiting that church. As he just went there, there's an older gentleman was coming out from that church. So he introduced himself and said that I came to visit this place. He said, I was the sexton of this church when Murray McShane was fasting over here. So he said he got so excited. Could you say something of your pastor which can help me? I am trying to reach people. Things are not happening. So he said, oh, you want to come in? He just invited him into the church. And he just came near the pulpit, and there behind there's a vestry. He said, come on in. And he said, that's a chair my pastor used to sit there. And why don't you just go and sit on the chair? The same minister just walked there and sat on the chair. And he said, why don't you put your elbow on the table? So the preacher, the same preacher, put the elbow on the table and said, let place your just face there. So he just placed the face. Then he said, let flow the tears. That's what I see whenever I come to my church. My pastor sitting there and weeping for the souls of Dundee. In his time, there was a revival broke out. It was not just a shallow one, it was affected Dundee's. So many people got saved. It just from there to all Scotland and to the mainland. And that's a long-lasting revival. This man did not live more, maybe at a few years he served, around 30 years, or 31 or 32, he died. Murray McShane. Are we prepared to weep for the souls? Souls are so valuable. Jesus gave his life. Today we need, people need to get saved. People need to come to know Jesus Christ. The only one thing which can save people, that is the blood of Jesus Christ. He came and died for you and me. Even as we went through the scripture, you can see the gospel. At least three times you can see the Lord himself was weeping. He was weeping over the circumstance. One time, he was weeping for an individual. His friend died, buried. His body was rotting. Came after 4 days. Jesus in his surrounding can see people weeping and so much of agony. And he knew that he is going to do the one of the great miracle to bring this man who is rotting in the tomb to alive. But still my Savior wept there. Maybe someone over here today, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, let me tell you, he not only shed his blood, he's weeping for you. You need to come to know him. Because without him, the future of individual is an eternal punishment place called eternal hell, agony. pain, eternal separation from God. And he's weeping for you. It's good to come to church, hear the message, enjoying. But the most important thing, you must have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I often tell our people, you can look like a Christian, act like a Christian, even sometimes you smell like a Christian. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are so far away from the Lord. Jesus wept for that individual. I do not know, are you concerned about even our own family sometimes? People can pretend to be sometimes Christian, act like Christian, because the ritualism and even just familiarities that sometimes make even people to just act like Christian, but we need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus wept for him. The other time, you can see the second time, the scripture, he wept, Jesus wept, once again, for a nation. As he was walking on the heights, he looked down to Jerusalem. Because this country rejected him, continually rejected him, Jesus, God himself sent prophets after prophets, calling them for repentance. But they just never just turned to him, the living God, ignored him, and walked on their own way with their ritualistic religious practices. And rejecting him, he wept over Jerusalem because what is going to come upon them. Not only in this earth when they are living for and the eternal, he wept for the nations. Maybe from heaven even today, God, my Savior, he may be just looking unto the nations which just forgetting the eternal God and just walking on their own way, even though the gospel came. They are perpetually rejecting the Savior, weeping for their nations. Thirdly and finally, once again, the Lord wept for the world. You remember that day, the previous day of his crucifixion, he took his disciples and took three of them, his inner circle, went far and asked them to watch and pray. The Lord himself just went forward, knelt down, and you can see that his tears mingled with blood rolled down to the earth. His agony and his crying, my Savior, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass away from me. My Savior was not fearsome. He's a very courageous Savior. He's not afraid of crucifixion. He knew from eternity what that pain is there. He prepared himself. Every time he was discoursing with the disciples, he always pointing out the cross. And he knew that he's going to go to the cross. He has to face that cross. My Savior was not afraid of crucifixion. It is painful. He knew that, no, I will be having mercy upon my Savior. Even the very hand touched and healed the people. Even those who have been just blessed by him, they are not going to show any mercy upon him. He knew that. He knew that the people are going to challenge him there. He knew that they are going to just treat him brutally. He will be treated very badly, emotionally, mentally, and physically. He'll be tortured. He knew the depth of that pain. Knowing that he willfully given himself, he was not afraid. But more than that, something happened at the cross. That what I cannot understand, the fathom of his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion, his kindness to you and me. More than that, all that pain, and emotionally, physically, mentally, all that pain, what happened on that cross, the very holy God, he took your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin upon him. the passage which we read yesterday, he became my sin. How can you understand God's love for you? He was willing to take your sin upon him so that you can have eternal life. The whole world, he wept for the whole world that. Mingling is rolling down the tears with blood, dropping down with agony. The holy God who hates sin became my sin. He cried with tears there. In this passage, it's a psalm of degree. This passage, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. This is sowing of precious seeds. The word of God is the seed. Often people ask me that, what can the method be? I said, we give gospel, simple gospel. The word of God can only bring repentance and life to people. Give the word of God. See, sowing precious seed, this, there is power and life in that seed. As we just sow the seed, it has to just fight it out and just cross over all the obstacles to bring life. The same way as we just give the word of God, the word of God itself has got life, and that has got power to overcome all the situations. I remember that I read the Bible 2 times before I got saved. I did not know anything that time. The word of God became strange to me. But as I was reading the 3rd time, the word of God says, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, as I was reading, God's spirit began to convict through that word, saying that I got a wicked heart, I'm awfully sinned against God. I began to realize that day, I'm lost in sin. The word of God began to work in such a manner, the Holy Spirit began to operate such a way, and convicting of my sin, that just made me to realize I need a living Savior. The gospel I heard hundreds of times brought into my remembrance, Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and save which was lost. The word of God was just working, so overcoming all my stubbornness, all my oppositions against the preaching the gospel, all those difficulties finally brought life. Need to give the word of God. The word of God, that seed has got to life. It has got power. And in time, he is going to bring forth fruit. That's the reason the word of God says, cast his bread. It will never come back void. God never promised to us that all the people to whom you are talking, they all are going to get saved. But surely, God says, you need to keep on sowing. One of my old friend who is in heaven, as we are talking one day, said, the success of ministry is not that how many souls you are winning. The success of ministry is that how many seeds you are planting. The seed, the word of God, planting day by day in our life. God is the one bringing life. The strange thing sometimes people say, some evangelists and people say, I saved many people. Nobody saves anybody else. Only God saves people. That's the reason the word of God says, preach the word. The word of God bring forth fruit. That bring faith. And the word of God just converts souls. That was accusation against when we were building that building. Over 60 people got saved, the laborers. The people said, you're converting just people by giving the job. I said, no, we are not in the business of converting. We only give the word of God. If you have an accusation, talk to God. He's the one who saves people. The word of God began to work in the life of individuals. There is power That's what the word here says. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I always admonished our people, saying that as you given the gospel, that is not enough. You come back home and water with tears. Water with tears. All the teams now reaching out. It's very easy sometimes to give a tract. But before we going, ask God to prepare the soil. And they go and just give the word. Come back and water with tears. God in his mighty mercy bring forth fruit. Are we prepared to give ourselves? As I was thinking this thing, now maybe the Lord is reminding someone in your family, maybe the Spirit of God may be reminding, are you faithfully giving the word of God and with kindness and mercy and with anticipation, just watering with tears, oh God, save that people. I often think about the Luke chapter 15. Think about the three lost things there. What's a lost sheep? The dumb sheep does not know how to come back. So the shepherd has to go and reach. There are people we need to go and reach with there. Maybe you have to go to a certain extent. Walking, maybe driving, maybe sending a mail to someone else, and maybe sharing the gospel. That's the best thing that you can do for an individual in this world. The shepherds seeking the sheep, lost sheep. Then second, you can say lost silver. It's amazing that this lady who took the broom and the candle began to sweep in the house. Here's my point. The silver was lost in the house, not in the world. There are so many lost children, grandchildren, siblings in Christian homes. Are we aware of that? This lady took the candlestick and swept very carefully. We need to use that, the word of God and the prayer simultaneously. Who knows that? The devil is so smart and so much wicked, and he is so liar, she confusing, and he tried to confuse people with that. The reality is that to keep away from the relationship with God. And we be sweeping, and with candlestick, the amazing thing is that she did until she found that coin, that silver. Make sure, that's what I always try to make sure, that are they saved. It's possible sometimes in the church, coming week after week, but no relationship with God. Is it something that we need to examine according to Peter? Are we in faith? Do we really know the Lord Jesus Christ? So she did that. Then thirdly, you can see that a lost son. He was raised in a Christian family. And things happened. And he took the portion, walked away from the father. And living in a righteous living. And what happened that he just spent everything. There comes an end for everything. There's no food now. He just sought for help. And then in that troubles and tribulations and struggles, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. Then he said, in my father's house, there are servants, they live much better than me. Let me go back. I will go and tell my father, I sinned against heaven and you. Here's my point, friends. Whenever he thought about his father, he thought about heaven. He might have really knew that his father is a godly man, pleading and praying and communing with God. Immediately he just thought about his father, he thought about heaven. I often tell our parents back in home, nobody see God, our children never saw God, you never saw God. But you and I are the representative of God in the homes and in the churches that only they might be able to see something of Jesus in you. We can point out him. This man, he got up and went to the Father. Father, I sinned against you and heaven. The word of God, which he was, he said, lost, there are people backslidden. They knew the truth, but they've been drawn away to the world because they are not focused on the Savior. They became the victim of temptations and sins and failures, walked away. And just going one time, I was just winning souls in Bangalore. There's a fellow was sitting and drunk, sitting on a bench. I went nearby him and sat there. I tried to open up a conversation. Then finally he opened, he said, you think that God forgive all the sins? I said, yes. So he began to talk the conversation. Finally he just opened up, he said, he was a believer. Walked away from God, sin after sin, sin after sin. And he thought that, is there any way that God can forgive? Deeply he went. And finally, that day he repented. God is willing to bring back. No matter people might have gone back to the world, you and I, constantly and continually giving the word and winning them back. So that his name may be glorified. There is power in the word, and there is life in the word. And there is also promise, a great harvest. Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Not only this word has got life, just got power, it's also promise a great harvest. There will be a harvest. As I said before, you know, God never promised to each and every one of us that all the people to whom we are talking, they are all going to get saved. He is the one getting saved, but we keep on sowing the seed and watering with tears. And God brings his harvest. Sheaves in time. What a joy that will be. There's joy in heaven. There is joy in the church. There is joy in the family. Because you are faithfully keep giving and sowing the seed and watering with tears, anticipating for a harvest. May the rich Lord, if Lord tarry, maybe another 85 years in this church, go on. May we expand the building and more people may come. If not, maybe more churches may be planted. More souls may be found in eternal heaven because somebody cares for souls. I trust all the people, those who are here today, caring for some souls. Thank God for this church. Almost around 4,000 miles away in India. You don't have to care, but you care for that. Praying for them, supporting. We alone cannot do that. It's a joint venture of God's people working together. Some people come to know Christ. Maybe you have the desire. Maybe the Holy Spirit might be just bringing somebody into your mind and heart today. I need to pray. I need to talk to that person. Maybe someone in your family. Maybe someone in your friend circle. Maybe someone, your neighbor. Will you just give your life today saying that, oh Lord, I'm so thankful you saved me. I'm so thankful you gave me the truth. I'm so thankful that you brought me in the right kind of church. Oh God of heaven, help me today that I might be an instrument sowing the seed and watering with tears and anticipating for a result. God bless you, Pastor.